All right, now it's time for Talking Books with Susan Brown, who heads up the Chapel Hill Public Library, and she joins us now in the studio, as always, on Wednesdays. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. It's actually sunny out, and it's warm in this room.
It's
so
warm in the studio, Aaron.
The cold temperatures outside are not a thing for us today. It's
That's
great.
Right. And actually, this is my second time on the radio with you this week. I was on Monday with Rachel Shavitz and Katie Linder talking about Der Vonderbus. Der Vonderbus with the umlaut.
Yeah.
So that's happening next week, but all kinds of things are happening.
Yeah, awesome. Tell us about the all kinds of things that are happening.
Well, what do you want to talk about, Aaron?
I don't know. So since you asked, so one thing, Town of Chapel Hill got an update from the library about adding parking spaces to the parking lot.
So, yes, apparently you guys here in the newsroom have the inside scoop, the inside track on things. So we are just getting this information out. The town manager, Maurice Jones, shared with the mayor and council, I think today, about our plans to, expand parking at the Chapel Hill Public Library. So parking is a, as his email said, parking is a major pain point for us at the library. It's our number one complaint. And so we are working on a sort of multi-step phased in approach to add more parking. So long and short of it is, probably this spring, and we will let folks know as this actually starts to happen and we'll offer some ways to mitigate things. We are going to add, I believe it's 8 more parking spaces up top at the sort of back end of the upper parking lot. And then that's going to set us up. Why, thank you. He hands me the actual information because he knows I never get it right.
Because we had it printed out.
We're going to add 8 parking spaces. And then that's going to set us up. We're not sure when we're going to do this because the second phase of it is a very significant capital project. But that's going to set us up to add 16 more spaces back there. And that's going to involve, you know, cutting a few trees. It's going to involve a bioretention pond. It's going to involve grading and stormwater. So that second phase is longer. But what we can do very soon with the resources we have is add 8 parking spaces up top. And then we're also exploring some possibilities around some offsite kiosks where people, our grab-and-go customers, as we call them, who park, come in, drop off their books, and grab their books off the hold shelf. These are 10-minute transactions, looking at perhaps some off-site solutions where we could meet their needs and not have them have to take up parking spaces.
Very cool.
It's pretty exciting.
That's really cool. And the one thing, I was kind of glancing at that sheet earlier, the one thing that stood out to me is not even about parking, but just the sheer number of people who visit the library every day, which is 1,800 visitors a day.
1,800, and in the summer, it's over 2,000 people a day.
There are national parks that don't get that level of visitors.
No,
I'm serious.
I am astounded and honored that I get to run that joint because this town loves it, and it's awesome. And so parking, as many folks say, it's a good problem to have, but it's still a problem that we have.
Right,
so
right.
We are, there will be some, you know, messaging and some things moved around and some things blocked when we add these 8 spaces, but we're going to work with everybody, let them know, try and make that as painless as possible.
Awesome. So that's going on. What else is going on?
Well, what I really came here to talk about, and I brought my new best friend, Patty Postage. I just like saying her name because it's a cool name. The next 2 weekends, we are working with the Durham Orange County Quilters Guild. Did I get that right, Patty?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Durham Orange Quilters Guild.
To bring some awesome quilts to the Chapel Hill community.
This
so,
is
hey,
super
Aaron,
cool.
This is Patty Postage.
Hello, Patty.
Hi,
how are
Aaron.
You?
Nice
Thanks
to
for
meet
being
you.
On the show.
Oh,
yeah.
Thank you.
So, okay, so what is going to be happening? So, okay, so first of all, tell us about the Durham Orange Quilters Guild. Who are you? What do you do? How big is the organization?
Okay, the Durham Orange Quilters Guild, they were started in 1978. So, last year we celebrated our 40th anniversary, and part of that was to bring out an exhibit. And it takes a while to make quilts. So we had it now aligned to go to the National Quilt Day that's in March 16th. So that's why we're having it now. We're almost 200 members. We go from ages of college age up to about 80-something and all that. We have about 10 men in it. Our rest are women, as you'd probably expect. Most people associate quilting with their grandmothers. That's usually the number one comment we get is, oh, my grandmother used to quilt, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But it's really come a long way, and that's what's a lot of fun. We meet once a month where we have speakers and all. We do workshops. We make donation quilts. We do a lot of outreach programs to the community. So it's a really neat organization with a lot of variety
awesome.
Of things.
How did you get into it?
I got into it because a friend of mine, was at it, and I ran into a quilt store buying fabric, which quilters will do a lot of.
Right, right.
It's actually a bad habit we have. We like to collect fabric.
That's a pretty good bad habit to have.
No, it gets very expensive
very
quickly.
Oh, I'm sure it does,
but yeah. But we like to collect different materials and then think of what quilts we can make with
them. Okay. How did you get into quilting?
My grandmother introduced it to me in West Virginia.
Okay.
And
very
I was
cool.
13 years old, so almost 50 years ago. And we would just sit around and do quilting with cousins and aunts and my grandmother. It was a thing we did in West Virginia. We didn't have much TV. And it was very enjoyable. And to see something come out of that was a lot of fun.
That's great. So happening at the library coming up in the next couple of weeks, what's going
on? Yeah, so what's happening is Patty and her crew reached out to us, I think through our program. We have a program proposal form on our website that anybody can pitch us a program, either on their own, in partnership with us. So it came through that, and they said we'd like to do a quilt show at the library. And, you know, this is sort of at the intersection of the library and then the arts and culture resources that I manage. So I said, Patty, let's come in and talk about it. And, you know, I tend to think big ideas and opportunities. And at the same time, we've been talking with a number of people about how can we activate some vacant downtown spaces with some arts things.
Yes.
Performances, installations, anything like that. So where we came at it was, let's do two things. So this week, Friday, and Patty will give the details, Friday night in conjunction with the Second Friday Art Walk, and then all day Saturday, there's a pop-up art quilt show and sale in downtown Chapel Hill. So it's at the former Ackland gift store.
Okay.
Not on the corner where Medici is now, but over
where
Frank
right across
was
the street.
Down from
yes,
Starbucks.
Yes, yes, yep.
So our good friends at UNC actually have a lease on that space, and I said, can we try some things? And they said, sure. So shout out to Gordon Merklin and his team. And we're just trying some things. So our role was to connect the quilters with that space, facilitate some things. And then the following weekend, we are doing a quilt exhibit at the library. So the quilts on exhibit at the library won't be for sale.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're going to do some maybe interactive activities or some talks and things. So this Friday is pop-up quilt show and sale. And here's the thing, like quilters come out for stuff. Like we're expecting quilters from a wide area to descend on downtown
Chapel
Hill.
I hear they have a bad habit of spending a lot of money on fabrics, right?
What's not to love? Yeah. But I will say, I'm going to turn it back to Patty to give the details, but this is an awesome group of women. I have not met the men yet, but Patty and her team are just, they're awesome. So it's been a delight to work with them.
Well, we really appreciate you giving us a chance to partner with you, too. At the Art Walk, we're going to have over 82 quilts.
Wow.
Most of those will be for sale, and they're all different sizes, everything from baby quilts up to, we try not to get too big because people don't really want to buy something that large and carry it home. But we have a lot of artsy things, and it's kind of fun. Some of the people that you see make these artworks our grandmothers, you know, and some of the people that make the really traditional might be younger people. So there's no predicting who's going to make what. There's a lot of gorgeous colors. We have a huge variety. We have a lot of little things if people want to give them, everything from cloth bags to little tea wallets and all that. But there's going to be well over 100 items for sale.
Awesome.
So it's pretty neat, wide price range. And then at the exhibit, which is on March 16th and 17th, March 16th is National Quilt Day. And we're going to have over 90 quilts at that. Now, most of those will not be the ones you see at the artwork. There will be a few of them, but most of them are going to be different. We're going to have a section in the middle that's red and white quilts for our Ruby anniversary. And that's what took us a little time to get this together, because we had to ask people, make a red and white quilt.
Yeah.
So you'll see a big selection of those, and they're really cool quilts. And they represent over 46 quilters who have worked on them. So our guild really came together. When I started mentioning it to them and asking them if they wanted to do it, there was a lot of excitement because they like to reach out to the public. They like to say, this is what I do. You keep wondering what I'm doing. This is it. And it's just a lot of fun. And the outreach programs we do with the kids up to adults, we're going to have them where they can tie quilts. We're going to let them do some stitching if they want to do some stitching, selecting colors. We've got a guessing game as to what is the name of that square. There's a quilt that has all these different squares. So nice. It's kind of fun little things for them to do and to learn a little bit more about quilting.
That's awesome. So the pop-up's going to be Second Friday Art Walk, which is this Friday, 6 to 9. Is that roughly right? Okay, at the old Ackland Art Store, Art Museum Store on East Franklin Street right downtown. And then the 16th and the 17th, which is Saturday and Sunday, is that going to be at the library?
At the library.
The library all day long? So
yeah, and then this weekend, so there's the Friday night sale, but then they're also going to have the pop-up quilt sale going on all day Saturday. So when you're downtown getting ready for the big game, stop
which
in
we
the
all
quilt
will be.
Show and
yes.
sale. So
there
yeah, it's Friday from 6 till 9 and Saturday from 9 till 6.
Very cool.
So yeah, stop by. And it's a cool thing also to like see what the space could be. I mean, there's, you know, there's some vacant spaces in town or in downtown. So programming them with something for just a couple of days just to say what could be here, what is our community respond to. It's a really fun and interesting thing.
Just pause for a second. I love that idea. Like the,
We're working on a lot more things like that. I know.
And I was like Matt Gladick and I were kind of having this conversation with the downtown partnership. Like what cool things can be done to make just being downtown an artistic experience.
Yes.
That, I love that idea
Many
so much.
Many people are talking about that. And the great thing about this one was, you know, when you get into this, you have to think about, you know, bathrooms and insurance and liability and paperwork. And blah blah blah. But this one was a really great test case because of our good friends at UNC. So they have a lease on the space, so they have some things covered, and the guild has the insurance on all of that. So this was a really easy one in many ways, but we're working on some other ones. So stay tuned because we're going to try and also align them with the Second Friday Art Walk. Too.
Speaking with Susan Brown and Patty Postage from the Durham Orange Quilters Guild, correct?
Yes.
And we got to recommend books based on quilting in a second. But before we do, a website for people who want more information on the guild, where can they go?
It's DurhamOrangeQuiltersGuild.com.
Awesome.
Or .org, excuse me.
.org.
And then real quick, cash only? Cash on the barrelhead? Checks? Plastic?
No checks.
Barter?
But we cash, and we do take credit cards, and we do PayPal. So we have three different ways.
Okay.
Very cool.
Great.
Okay, so we're talking books with Susan Brown and Patty Postage, and we're recommending books about quilts and quilting today, right? So
yes.
Who wants to start?
Well, this was a homework assignment for me because
I've never really read books on quilting, you know?
So
a quilter that's never read books about quilting.
Hey, I have a lot of books. I brought in
One book about the radio, so I'm totally with you on that.
Well, we had a speaker a few years ago, Dr. Bernie Herman. He's with the UNC. He's a doctor from UNC Chapel Hill and the Department of American Studies. And he went through the G's Bend quilters and that history. And that was a really interesting talk. They're a very, very poor area in Louisiana. They make what they call ugly quilts. And they've been on postage stamps. They've had their quilts in the Smithsonian Institute and all that. So it was a really neat book to go through and really interesting to hear him. And it's called The Architecture of the Quilt by Paul Arnett. And then Bernard Herman is listed in there, too.
Awesome.
Yeah, it was very neat.
Very cool. So
did you bring a quilt book, Aaron?
I brought two quilt books. Thank you very much.
Ooh.
So first thought, and I'm going to mention this briefly and then move on because I don't want to be too maudlin about this great conversation that we're having. But the first book that I thought of was And the Band Played On, about the AIDS crisis in the 80s, and the AIDS quilt comes into it towards the end of the book. So we've got to recommend that one because it's a fantastic book that everyone should read if they haven't. I'm also going to recommend, this is a children's book by an author named Deborah Hopkinson called Sweet Clara and the Freedom Quilt, which is about a young slave girl in the 1800s who learns about the Underground Railroad and devises a way to escape slavery by creating a map in quilt form and then distributing that to other slaves and leading them to freedom through quilting. So,
very cool.
Yeah, very cool. So that's what I got.
So, Patty had one book, you had two.
Yes.
I've got three.
Okay.
So, I mean, this is not about winning, but I'm about to win.
All right.
No, I'm kidding. So,
you are not kidding at all. Not even for a second, not even a little bit.
I didn't even know this was going to be a contest. I did not prepare for this.
Oh, okay. So, coming over here, I was like, I can't think of any books about quilts. And then in the course of sitting here and listening to y'all talk, and thinking about this, I've got three. I really do. So two of them I'm just going to mention, and one I'm going to talk about a little bit more. Number one, the first book I thought of was a book by, he's a Kentucky author named Silas House, and it's a book called Clay's Quilt. And it's been probably out for 6, 8, 10 years. I mean, it might have been an Algonquin book, but if you like Southern literary fiction, and a quilt factors heavily in that, and it's a sort of quilt of remembering things. Family member tells family history through creating a quilt. Mm. And then the other one I thought of was Toni Morrison, The Bluest Eye. And in that book, a quilt factors into the story as well. Mm. But the one that I really want to mention, because I mean, there's plenty of like cozy mysteries that talk about quilts, I'm sure. Like there's probably a whole quilting subgenre. But you know me, I like dark and twisted fiction. He shakes his head. So I want to recommend Margaret Atwood's Alias Grace. So it's literary fiction. It's historical fiction. It's the story of, it's a fictionalization of a real story. It's sort of, I hate to say Lizzie Borden-esque, but it's a woman is accused. She works as a housemaid, and she's accused of killing the family that she works for. Mm-hmm. And the story, as only Margaret Atwood can tell it, is just wonderfully told through the court and her time in jail and everything. But quilts are like the theme of the whole thing. Mm-hmm. Every chapter is the different name or is a name of a different quilt pattern. She creates a quilt that is on her bed that sort of gives you some of the clues to the story. And it was made into a Netflix series, and the quilts carry over, like they keep it in there. So if you read the book or you see the series, you will see these quilts and sort of get how the names of them and the patterns play into the plot. It's very, very good.
Alias Grace?
Alias Grace. It's one of my favorite Margaret Atwood novels.
Awesome. All right. That is Talking Books for today. And again, pop-up downtown Friday during Second Friday Art Walk this week, and then Saturday from 9 to 6, and then come to the Chapel Hill Public Library next weekend, the 16th and the 17th, for that quilting show. And again, that's in conjunction with National Quilt Day. Susan Brown, Patty Postage, thank you so much.
Thank you, Aaron.
Thanks,
thank
Aaron.
You, Susan.